Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Steve White, and I'd like to welcome you all to another edition of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, where we spotlight positive things and positive individuals with their roots based in Riviera Beach. So again, welcome to the show. We're going to do something very special this afternoon with our co-host, Dan Calloway, and with our guest, Ann McNeil, who is also one of the hosts of the show, actually the creator of the show. But we're going to really explore Ann McNeil for the next 30 minutes. And so first of all, I'd like to welcome Ms. McNeil to the show and also welcome Mr. Calloway.
Good afternoon. And this is a beautiful day and probably the most important one because our fierce leader who had this big idea and all over the nation, we've been getting response, and I know in the Palm Beach County, this is wonderful. This is the first part, since it's under my control, to bring in the speakers for every week. It wouldn't be fair to just have her for 1 week, and the three of us will be back next week because we have so many things to do, and we can't do it in 30 minutes. So, Mrs. McNeil, you're not Ann to me today. You're Mrs. McNeil today. And I'm just proud to be a part of whatever you're doing. And I know you feel the same way, whatever I'm doing also with Steve. Give us from the ground up where you started out as a little girl and up until now. And then we'll go on to, from that.
Wow. Dan Calloway, good afternoon, everybody. Oh, my God.
That's taking you back a little bit.
Now I know how all of our guests feel when you want to go back that far, my goodness. Well, naturally, I was born and raised in Riviera Beach, actually born on a street that used to be called Comus Avenue, right in front of Goodmark Park. I went to Washington Elementary in Riviera Beach. That's where I started my young career, if you will. And we had a fire. We had a fire before we finished elementary school, and then we had to be moved to Lincoln. And after the fire, the school was rebuilt as Washington Elementary to where it stands now. And that was in the, naturally, that was in the 60s. And I went from Washington to Howard, a school that we're during segregation, you know, we would then bus to Palm Beach Gardens, to a junior high school, and then went on to John F. Kennedy Junior High. And this is, of course, was during the desegregation days when our school was desegregated, and we were then moved over to what we now know as Suncoast High School. But during those early years, I can definitely say that growing up with people like yourself, Dan Calloway, Miss Mary Herring, Lee Hook, and many of the teachers from junior high school and high school that molded who I am today in terms of building character, integrity, and building success principles. We didn't call them that during that day. They were biblical principles. You know, being in church, my mom was a holiness minister, and being in church all the time and deciding that as soon as I got out of high school, that was it for me for church. That's what I thought. But little did I know that God had some different little did I know that God had a different plan for me and my young life. So that's really where it all started in terms of those early years.
Okay. Well, let me ask this question to you to bridge that. When was it, and you don't have to just tell your age when I say that, that you wanted to be an entrepreneur and do something that most black women didn't do before you, and even right now, especially from Riviera, to get into your own business?
Well, Mr. Calloway, if I really go back in the archives of my memory and really think back to where that started, it really was my father. My father was an entrepreneur. Even though he was a day laborer, he always desired to make more money to provide for his family. And so during the summer, he would always take a field bus, if you will, to Georgia and pick fruit and vegetables, and he would bring it back. And he would have us, my brother and I, people call him Joe Pop and the Fish Man. He would have us as young kids right on the back of that truck helping him sell vegetables. And then as I got older and began to drive, he would take groups of buses to the field, and we know that to be Belgrade or Pahokee, and pick vegetables, and he provided the transportation. And, people who wanted to work, he would just pick them up there early in the morning, and he would have them on the, you know, in the fields to pick whatever vegetables were in season at the time. And I did not realize that that was the beginning of entrepreneurship for me, because as he did that, I naturally went to school, but I also had to work with him during that time, every summer, weekend, night, making sandwiches to sell. And I think that was the beginning of the entrepreneur spirit. And then as I got older, a little older, he had operated equipment that he would teach me how to drive. And it was not something that girls did, but it was something that I had to do to support my father and help support the family. So I think that really was the beginning of the entrepreneur spirit prior to going to, really prior to going to high school and also college. But I also have to say this too. I looked around and saw people like Preacher Brooks, who was my cousin, next door neighbor, who was a contractor. Mm-hmm. I also looked around and saw Mr. and Mrs. Herring, who I grew up with her daughters, and I watched them with their business and construction, you know, doing paving. And then other people that we saw that had, you know, the McCrays that had the barbecue, you know, restaurant, and my aunt, who actually owned a liquor store on Rosemary during the heydays. And so I just saw what was possible around me as entrepreneurship. And I always knew that was something that I wanted to do. Construction came as a later part in my life.
Okay. Well, you named some wonderful people. Years ago was Pillars of Riviera. And, of course, Jonathan Preacher Brooks and Mary Herring and her husband. And it was so many of the Southpoles, and had their own. And of course, you can't get away from Lindsay Davis and the oldest brother. We call him Uncle Chew. Papa Davis down at Snoop's. They own their own business, and then of course it spun off with so many other black people. But I'm reminded of you and your brother, which I think that Carl is still the fourth leading home run hitter that ever played in the Riviera Little League baseball, because I was running that. And I marvel at that because he was short and well put together. And he had a couple of balls along with Sammy T. Marsha Jr. into the swimming pool because of we were hitting from the south. West going into the northeast, and the swimming pool, if you remember, right behind Tate Gym, before they named it after me, was right there. And I know Stevie knew where that was because we used to have pool parties.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
And then you, if I remember, you came out for a short time to be one of my cheerleaders.
Yeah, amazing.
Huh?
I said a majorette,
too. Right. Yeah, the majorette, too. Well, you see, actually, my first job was right there across from your house. I was running Goodmark Park because of when the Brooks, the Ernest Johnson, and Milton Perry family living right down the street. And let me see. We called the man. He was an entrepreneur. We called him the Rag Man.
Oh, no, wait, listen, my, My mom used to feed Ragman and let him come and take a shower at our house. And it's surprising. I don't know if you remember when he passed, they found he had thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars he had saved
in
his check. Yes, yes. But
he
didn't
believe in the bank.
No, he saved a lot of money, and my mom befriended him. And I think that that's where I get my service to spirit of leadership from. My mother, who was the holiness minister, and then my father was an entrepreneur, even though they both had jobs. But I definitely do remember you being over the Goodmark Park right in front of our home. And It was really a salvation for many of us kids, especially during the summertime, because we had no place else to go. And there used to be, if I'm not mistaken, I think it might have been like a trail or something they had on the property where
it was out of the summer.
Semi-trailer.
It was a trailer,
yes,
and added something around it. I mean,
built some other
things to put the toilet in there, the running water. Yeah,
exactly,
that was the lifeline of North Riviera.
Exactly, but see, even as a kid, though, those memories, to me, is why this show is so very important, this hashtag, I Am Riviera Beach, because so many of us, and Steve talked about this when we interviewed him, so many of us were impacted at a very young age because of that, and that's why it is imperative, that we continue to give back to, like you say, the least, the lost, and the unconcerned even. Because, again, if we don't throw that lifeline, there will be no memory for young people like us to remember people giving back. We can be nameless. That's not as important as being able to provide in the time of need.
Well, that's the reason why when you had the idea to put this program together, I think this is a service to Riviera, to Palm Beach County, and other places, because about a month ago, somebody called away from Gary, Indiana, and asked us a question on this same show. And then there have been people call me later during the week, so I heard you all on the radio, what about this, that, and the other. A guy named Richard Sims, who lived right around the corner from where you were. You were on 36th Street, and he was on 35th Street. No, 34th Street. You were on 36th Street, and he was on 34th Street, right there on the corner, going toward Mr. McGainis' store, right on the corner there. He finished school in 1964. He just called me before we got on the air, and he's right out of Charlotte, North Carolina, and he heard the program, and he said that him and Merlon Timmons, I don't know if you knew, remember Lucy Timmons, was off the 34th Street by Pleasant Heights Church, and she had heard something about it. But getting back to you, we are very grateful that you started this, and most of all, you were honored not too long ago because of your outstanding contribution and service and your activism of making it better for other people. You didn't go bury your talent. You and Steve both was honored the same day. I didn't know that Steve was going to be next. All three of us. That's the main thing. Now you had to leave and go to Atlanta to another business meeting or something like that, and you weren't there when we had to honor Mr. White, which we'll talk about that later, because of some of the things that we and the public need to know about females. How do you feel being one of the trailblazers in Palm Beach County as an entrepreneur with your company? And years ago, I don't know, was it 15, 16 years ago when you built the police station down in West Palm Beach? Elaborate on that a little bit for me.
Well, you know, I never really thought about it as a trailblazer until, you know, people say it. I just saw a need, and the need that I saw back in the early 90s was the fact that I was commuting, you know, from West Palm Beach to Miami every day, and I've been doing it for over 20 years at that point. And I share with people that I felt like Joseph when his brother sold him into slavery. for a few dollars. I felt like I had to go to make that trip to Miami every day and drive back to West Palm Beach to learn how to build, not just buildings, but learn how to build businesses, how to build black families, how to build black communities, if you will. Because in construction, construction is a low-hanging fruit, if you will. It is a low level of entry for anybody at any level to enter. And at the same time, it's one of the number one areas where people can do well and do good without any kind of prior education if they have a desire to work and a desire to learn. And so I just felt like, you know, all those years of going back and forth and back and forth and learning how to build at a billion-dollar, not just a million-dollar level, but at a billion-dollar level is what prepared me to come back to Palm Beach County and look for an opportunity when Robbie Littles was elected as commissioner for the city. And he asked me about coming back. I told him, you know, the city wasn't serious. And so over the years of looking for projects to bid, I chose a project that happened to have been the largest project in our city's history. I didn't know that at the time. I just knew that our community needed opportunity to work on a major project that was a public sector. You see, Dan, we can work for other folks that don't look like us. It's okay to do that. But then when we want to work directly with these agencies, it appears to be a problem of some kind. And that's what happened in the county, and that's what happened in the city of West Palm Beach. But it takes people like many of us to say, okay, well, I will stand in the gap. I will stand in the gap and create, not just make an opportunity, not just wait for an opportunity, and not just wait for somebody to invite us to the dance, because we have the power to desire. We have the power to imagine, and we have the power to create whatever it is we want. And so that is what my thoughts were in coming up with the idea of going after that project. And what a lot of people don't realize, Dan, is that that project was a $20 million project. There were 12 bidders, and I was number 6 out of 12. I was not number 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. And God blessed me with an idea to pull together a joint venture with a white firm that had the bonding, had the financial capability, and not limit myself because I did not have the bonding, I did not have the financing, but I had a vision and a dream that was so much larger than my obstacles, was so much larger than my color, and it was so much larger than my gender. And my desire, Dan and Steve, was to create something for black contractors in the city of West Palm Beach to allow them to work on public projects that they'd never been able in their life to work on. So that's a bridge story on how that project became a reality.
Well, the main thing about it, the doors opened for so many. Erzer, who was on this program before, and I guarantee you his firm and a lot of other firms would not be here if you hadn't been given that opportunity and to do it well enough. Well, everybody said, well, not only a black person, but a black female can do that. See, your reputation precedes you right now because of I'm going to be in a meeting with some people soon, and I need to explain this to the listening audience. We need that. There's two things we need, and we'll talk about that next week in length about teenage pregnancy, and you have to. That's going to be a part of you. Because of, I know that you're going to support anything to stop the teenage pregnancy, and we're going to do it in two folds. Dr. Robertson has already given me the platform without going through the school board, as long as we work with the parents and get their signature and all the other things, because Steve will be heading that because we're going to have the boys. See, everybody thinks we're talking about teenage pregnancy. It's all about females. Now, they don't have babies by themselves. Somebody else had to help them get a baby. So if we're going to take 50 girls, we will have 50 boys, but they won't be together. And we're going to have Steve over that education program. And we'll have somebody from the health department, sometime from Planned Parenthood. All that will be put together, and we're going to work on that. Now, you need to talk about that just in a few minutes, how, and it's going to be named after you. Will you accept the name after you, number one, that program with Steve in charge? And I'm raising the funds to take care of it. And how do you feel about that? Because it's all coming out of the birth of this program.
Well, first of all, it's my first time hearing this, but I, of course, I would be honored. And it's not so much about myself, but for the vision of what's possible in girls who are even yet unborn. And that's why I think that it's really an honor to serve and give back, but not just in a small way, but in a major way. And so you take this show is evergreen. It's evergreen, and it will outlive all of us. So, yes, I received that honor, and I accept it humbly.
Well, I need to clear up something for the not a sneak attack audience. She left me Friday before last to go to Atlanta, and Steve told me she was still up there. And I said, well, I took the liberty that you would trust my vision, that you were the person that I wanted to be. You've earned the right to be, and it's named after you. Will you accept my apology for not running on you, bringing up on the air?
Absolutely. Anything for you, Mr. Calloway. Anything.
Well, I appreciate
Absolutely.
That. I appreciate
Absolutely.
That. We'll get in length about that more, but in all fairness, you know, I retired from law enforcement, and they ask me a question all the time. What one thing is more the demise of a community like Riviera? You know, I always say teenage pregnancy, babies having babies. I don't care what anybody say, because if they lose out of their growing up stage, and Steve can elaborate on that easily because he deal with things like that. You must educate the minds to get where you are, and both of you are right now. And both of you all got great minds, and you didn't get that truck. You went through steps to get there. So today, would you tell me, with all your great ideas, what is the next step for you that you got on your program that no one else know about, that you haven't talked over with Steve and I in the public before?
Well, Dan, I would tell you, my vision really is twofold. I created an organization called International Mastermind Association from the book Think and Grow Rich, where we mastermind. We have a program that we host every Sunday, actually an hour from now, every Sunday at 3:30, where we take kids, young kids, early as first grade, as soon as they can start reading. And we have them read, think, and grow rich to empower their minds and to build their character and their self-esteem and self-confidence. And I believe that that is the beginning of stopping a lot of pregnancy in our young girls, and the boys having a greater self-esteem to know that they have some other choices, if you will. And the second part of that vision is going from the mindset to the spirit of entrepreneurship. We also host every summer a stock investment for children. And my youngest daughter started investing in second grade, and right now she's branded as the baby billionaire, which anybody can Google that. And before she hit the age of 30, she was sitting on six figures and would be sitting on seven before the age of 40 without a business, but purely investing. And so the last part of that is then taking these young kids and helping them understand that they can have a career and or a business in construction. And I created an organization nationally called the National Association for Black Women in Construction, even though we cover the brothers. And right now, Dan and Steve, we're in 15 cities and growing. My desire is to add two cities every year. And so that is my larger vision. And everything I do, my desire is that it would always be intentionally congruent to everything else. And so I own 5 different businesses, and all of the businesses that I own or created are intentionally and congruently connected with all of the other businesses. So as the owner of MCO Construction, MCO Consulting, Constructive Speaking, National Association of Black Women in Construction, the International Mastermind Association, and then I'm a big volunteer with an organization called Better Investing. And so I say that, Dan, because that's what the future holds for me. And it's never about the money, you know, because Maslow, our hierarchy of needs tell us that once our basic needs are met, it is really about a higher calling and spirit of service above self. And that's what this entire, you know, process is about for me.
Well, I think that you mentioned at the very beginning about your father laid the foundation of business when he was taking people back and forth, picking beans, tomatoes, harvesting, whatever. And then you said your mother was a holiness minister. See, everything that you do, you carry God with you. You get his blessing first. See, I picked that up a long time ago because that's the way I am. You believe in the word. And so you put your money where your mouth, because I know what you've done for people who are in need, especially in this pandemic we've gone on. And right now, knowing that we fed Friday when you left, that same day, we fed 32 families, which came out to be 128 people, grocery for a month. And it came out from the first week when we now we fed 336 families. So therefore, we just got to keep on doing something. Now, before we close, Steve, do you have some questions you want to ask him?
I do. I absolutely do. Well, I'm going to call you Ann. I know Mr. Calloway said you're Mrs. McNeil today, but we'll still keep you as Ann. So what I would like to ask you is two separate questions. One is you talked about the things that you were exposed to with your father, and then you ultimately became an entrepreneur. But other people are exposed to those things as children or as young adults, and they don't end up being entrepreneurs. So I still wanted you to talk about the mindset, you know, why do people become, or why did you become a successful entrepreneur? Because I always think it's also a lot about the mindset. You know, there are some people I think that are just born and really know that there's a calling on them to do their own thing, to be their own boss. So I wanted you to talk about the mindset. And then I also wanted you, too, to talk more about, just give us an overview of MCO Construction. As you mentioned, you have 5 businesses, but just give us an overview in addition to, you know, what you all have done, how long you've been in business, because we didn't talk enough, I think, about the actual construction company itself and some of the other projects that you have done in addition to the police station.
So you know this is a 5-part series then, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. See, we got next week coming up, Stevie.
Okay, okay, man. Okay.
So, yeah, well, let me just answer
you can be free.
Yeah, okay. I'll do the very best I can, Steve, in terms of being brief. I'm like Mr. Calloway, give me the microphone. But listen, in terms of mindset, you hit the nail on the head for me about mindset, because I believe that mindset is it actually comes from within, and I believe that, you know, now that I can look backwards on what my mom instilled in me in terms of the word of God, from a very early age, with memorizing scripture and being in church all the time, that really was the foundation. And then watching my father as an entrepreneur gave me a larger vision of what was possible other than just my job. But it was not until my mom was a maid, and she would always work with white people and bring things home that they didn't want. And she would always tell me that even if you don't want something, you graciously receive it and bless somebody else with it. And oftentimes the books that she would bring home that they were discarding, I would read those books. And just, you know, many of them were of the Jewish faith and just positive thinking, did not know what that meant. And it was not really until I picked up a copy of Think and Grow Rich in 1979. I know exactly the day, exactly the time, December 31st, 1979 to be exact, at 9 p.m. And the reason I know that is because it was the day I drew the line in the sand, and as I began to read that book, Steve and Dan, it began to read me. And the author asked me these questions that nobody ever asked me before. And that was, how much money did I want was the first question. What was I going to do in return for the money was the second question. The third question was, by what date did I want the money? And the fourth question was, where was my plan? I had a really good corporate job, and I never thought about that. I just did what everybody else did and what we were taught to do, go to school, get a good education, and get a good corporate job. I did that. But I found myself deeply, deeply, deeply in debt, and not very positive about it because I thought I should have been doing more, but I did not know that there was a mindset shift that was getting ready to happen in my life and in my business. And so with those thoughts in mind, I just began to read the book, reread the book, reread the book, and began to share what I was learning with friends. And that is what started my mindset shifting from the negative mindset that I had and the defeatist and the hopeless mindset that I had to something that was more positive. And like I said, for the first time in my adult life, because I was an adult by this time with married with a family, that I began to understand the connection between the Word of God and the principles that were espoused in the book were biblical principles. It's just that it gave feet to my faith. And that's what started my mindset shifting, which is why right now I created the organization called International Mastermind to continue the mindset shift. And I can tell you the show that I'm doing today, I do three or four shows like this every single week to espouse the principles, but also to help people at whatever level they are to know that it's possible. Because, see, that's where the hope comes. When you know that it's possible and you do have the ability to achieve your definite purpose in life, but you just have to persist until you succeed, I could also suggest with a spirit of excellence. And so that's the mindset shift and how that all began. The company, you know, again, we could talk about that because we're out of time, but my first company, Imperial Construction, you know, came out of a desire to build. And I tell this story very quickly that people ask me, how did you go into construction? You know, how did that happen? And I would say this, my husband, who I call him my boyfriend, he graduated valedictorian. We both from Florida Memorial in 1976. And so we moved to West Palm Beach, right there on Florida Avenue, where now the convention center sits. And we bought our first home there, and every Sunday over the weekend, we would just ride the neighborhood and look for sale signs. Because, again, my father was an entrepreneur, and he always used to say, I wish I woulda, coulda, shoulda, and I didn't. That's how I grew up, hearing this, I wish I coulda, shoulda, woulda. You know, Mr. Calloway, when Riviera Beach was just becoming of age in the 60s and the 70s, there was a lot of land, you know, Preacher Brooks' father was a preacher. He really was the first contractor because Preacher Brooks' father, you know, owned a lot of property. He built a lot of homes, true. That's how Preacher Brooks got into the business. And so my first property as almost a teenager was bought from his father. And so, you know, that was right there in Riviera Beach. And so that began my entrepreneurial spirit and understanding, you know, should I not just own my house, but I can buy another house to rent to others and buy another house to rent to others. So one day I came home from work, and this is how construction came into my life. And my husband said to me, he called me babe. He said, babe, you know, if I had to do all over again, now, he graduated valedictorian from Florida Memorial with a degree in accounting. He said, if I had it to do all over again, I don't think I would go to college. I was shocked. I said, if you wouldn't go to college, what would you do? He said, I'd go into construction. I'd get a trade. I said, why? He said, think about it. He said, these guys, they didn't finish high school, and they couldn't get out of high school, and so they went and they got a trade. They went to a trade school, and now they learn how to do plumbing and electrical and how to do carpentry and do all of this work. And he said they come in here and they charge us these prices. He said, I did the math. He said what they make an hour is more than you make in a day. And he said if we did the work ourselves and we self-perform it, you know, what they make on these jobs is, you know, he said it's more than you make in a whole year. I said, what?
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, because he said, I did the math. And I quickly told him, and this was the shift for me. He said, I told him, well, I'll go to trade school and I'll learn construction. He started laughing. He said, you kidding? I said, no, I'm not kidding. And that is when I signed up in the 70s at North Tech to go to trade school with Mr. Granberry. Granberry was my teacher.
Yep.
You remember Mr. Granberry?
Yep.
Louis
yes,
Granberry,
I
think his name was Granberry. Well, Mr. Granberry was a teacher at North Tech, and I went to North Tech and went to trade school at the same time while I was working on my master's degree while working at Pratt & Whitney. And that is when that construction entrepreneurship spirit started, and later on I started the business.
Beautiful. Well, let me do this, Stevie. You
go ahead.
Because this is to be continued, Act 2, next week. Finish it up, Stevie.
Perfect, perfect. Okay, well, yeah, this really has been just, you know, we just the tip of the iceberg, and there is a lot that I want to explore with you, Anne, and I know the audience want to hear more about what you are doing and have done and how, you know, the motivation for the things that you are doing going forward. So we are looking forward to next week. So we thank you for sitting in the guest chair today and for being willing to sit in the guest chair again next week and take these questions and everything. So we're looking forward to it. And we just wanted to thank the audience for participating and supporting this program. And Anne, did you have any closing comments that you'd like to add?
Well, I'm very appreciative of the opportunity to serve and also to share. And I just believe that, you know, there's a quote from Napoleon Hill that says, you know, greatness, and all of us can be great. Greatness, very simply, is the ability to recognize the power of your own mind and then to embrace that power and then to use it. And so I'm just honored to be the guest, if you will, on this show, but just want to challenge all of us to use the greatness that God has placed in all of us to do whatever it is you put your hands to do. And so I'm honored to be able to share. And I just continue to serve, and to God be the glory for everything that I do. Thank you.
Beautiful.
All right. Thank you. So, again, we thank everyone for listening, and we will be back next Sunday to continue this outstanding and informative interview with Ms. McNeil, Mrs. McNeil. So thank you, and everyone have a great afternoon.
Goodbye.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.